it's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, we back. Ali is away, but he will be back soon. Shout out to Muhammad. In the meantime, it is you and I, you know, one-on-one yet again. Crystal clear in your ear, you know. Chilling. How you feeling? All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Hell yeah. Now, that first of the month did creep up. We April now. Yeah, hopefully everything is settled. Hopefully everything good. That first of the month, you know, adjustment, shift, you know what I mean? Analysis, anxiety, all of that. You're like, damn, 4 months. 4 months into 2026. Feels like it's moving fast. I'll be honest with you, dog. I mean, I remember when it was hot. Now it's about to be hot again. We just got through the winter. Hopefully. I think spring has really sprung. I think it's all the way there now. I think we are fully in the throes of spring. You know what I'm saying? Time to flip the closet and do all of that other shit. You know, get your fits together and whatever else you need to do. Your spring cleaning. I'm over here doing fall cleaning in the spring. I'm doing fall 2025 cleaning in spring 2026, man. I might need to call somebody help me declutter this situation. Have y'all ever used somebody to clean your home? Have you ever used anybody? And if so, how did you find this person? And how long you been with this person? And do you trust this person? Or have you used somebody and you had a bad experience? I tried it at least once. Once before, I remember I used Handy. I got a cat off of there. He looked like he was, man, this man looked like he just came home. He came through with just a beater on with one of them basketball team book bags. You know, the little drawstring book bag with like a little Swiffer mop coming out of the top of it. I think he had like one spray bottle of whatever concoction he had. And this was that, you know what I'm saying? And he was there to clean up. And I don't think he did that good a job. I can't even remember. I guess I was profiling him. You know, I'm be honest with you. I was like, yo, who this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? Shit, I had a knife in my sweats just in case. And I had to remind myself I had a knife in my sweats so I don't sit down and stab myself in the thigh or worse. You know what I mean? But I know at one point I'm sitting down watching First Take. He look over my shoulder like, yeah, man, LeBron balling. Motherfucker, if you don't go ahead and finish that bathroom, man. I don't know. It's weird. It's always been weird for me with that because I don't know. It's just, look, it's a job. You're paying a person. It's honest work. Right. But I take all of that and you can't clean your own house. You know what I'm saying? Then it also kind of feels, it's not slavery because they're getting paid, but you got somebody cleaning your home. And then I'm like, I hope they don't take nothing. Whomever it is, I hope they don't take nothing. But then shit, am I going to know? I might not even know for a while. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's something that I go to often. I'm like, yo, whatever happened to, and immediately, even if I misplace it immediately, now that's subject number, that's suspect number one. Wait a minute. Was it then can I hire to declutter my crib? Anyway. Happy spring, y'all. Happy spring. Spring is here. I'm happy spring is here. The weather is going to be a lot better. You know, wintertime, boy, this was a real winter. This winter was, I've been saying winter came back like T.I. Like this winter was wintering like it had something to prove. Like people was like, yo, you know, they ain't afraid of you no more, winter. Winter came back 30 years to the day with the big snow, two big snows. You know, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was tough. Single man in the winter too, man. I think this was my first single winter in a long time. And it was something. there was a wild little time being single in the winter. I wasn't, you know, it was interesting. It was interesting, especially with all that heavy snow. That heavy snow was in the, you know, that was in the crib snow. It was laid up snow. That was dolo, you know. Ah, it is what it is, though. Spring is here. I think that's the toughest for me. I think that might be the toughest season to be single is the wintertime. Because the wintertime is such a layup-ass season. You know what I'm saying? You know, cozy season. You know, kick it at the house, watch a movie, go, you know, all of that, intertwine, you know, all of that type of thing. Spring come, you start getting restless. You know, I used to call this breakup weather. And breakup weather coming, motherfuckers be trying to get out their relationship like jury duty. But, yeah, it's getting warm out here, you know, enjoying life, dating a little bit. Yeah. Let me ask you, give me some date ideas outside of the obvious dinner, drinks, movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, what else? What else is there? You know, what other type of dates you taking? Museums, walks in the park? What you doing? What's a good date? Rock climbing? I was talking to somebody. They was like, this white cat, he's a rock climber. And this other girl was like, well, you should take your girls rock climbing. That's what you like to do. He was like, well, not for a first date. And, you know, definitely not for a first date. Rock climbing on date one? That's crazy. You got to find out if people into rock climbing. You know, there's a rock by me. There is. There's a rock by me where they be this in the park. Then some rock climbers be out there. And they be looking silly. they look silly. I mean, I, you know, no disrespect, because they are fully into it. They buy rock climbing shoes and gloves and chalk. You know, they be chalking on some LeBron. You know, they be chalking it up and getting to it. And it's not even a crazy rock. It's just the way the rock juts out that they kind of, you know, you could kind of be upside down for a second. And you gotta have some core scrumph, to really rock climb, but it'd be about six of them. I don't know if they a crew or they just meet up at the rock, the independent rock climbers, and they just meet at this place or whatever. I don't know. I ain't get into the culture of it. I just was watching every so often I see them out there climbing the rock. They was climbing the rock in the wintertime. That had to be crazy. Slippery and all, cold and all of that. But yeah, rock climbing on date one is a lot though. That's a lot. That's crazy. That's adventurous. I don't do a lot of adventure dates. I don't do a whole lot of that. Let's go rock climbing. Let's go surfing. Let's go hiking. Nah, I ain't doing none of that. Let's go get a drink. Let's see if we even like each other. Let's see, you know what I mean? Let's see how the conversation flows before we start getting, you know, physically exerting ourselves in a way that's not, you know, the obvious. But yeah, man. I was just thinking about that because I'll tell you, you know what? I was thinking about this too. I was, you know, when you really, because there's nothing wrong with being single. Shout out to all of the single people listening. You know what I mean? Shout out to us. You know, and the people that are coupled up, relationships and all of that, everything. Yeah, shout out to all of y'all. But there's times I was having this thought. I was like, your self-talk got to be on 100 when you're single. When you're single, it's just you. It's just you going through trials and tribulations. You might have somebody you could call, but like when it's just you in the house, and you gotta get yourself out of bed, or you gotta get yourself into the world, or you gotta bounce back from an L. It is all about you and that medicine cabinet. That is your partner. That medicine cabinet mirror, or that wall mirror, or whatever. Or maybe it's no mirror. Maybe it's just you, just speaking into the void, talking to you and God. You know what I mean? Getting yourself, nah, you good. You good. Nah. Come on now. You already know. You know? I tell you another time, too, when it's good to be in a relationship, when you're driving and you gotta take your jacket off while you're driving on the highway. I did that earlier today. I'm driving on the highway trying to take my jacket off, and it was tough. It was tough. I felt like Houdini trying to get out the straitjacket. It was, I could have used a hand, you know, just somebody to grab the wheel, just to steady the wheel, you know what I mean? Or pull a sleeve, something. I had to just thug it out, you know? And then I don't know what it is, the drama of the little seatbelt thing beeping, beep, 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 you know what I mean? It's like, oh man, come on now, come on. Because if I crash, everyone's going to be like, look at him. Had he just had his seatbelt fastened, he would have survived this. Meanwhile, I just cracked the seatbelt to get the jacket off. But anyway, yeah, man, that's what I've been thinking. I was I went to the Ace Hotel on Friday night. Friday night to go see Kiana Parks DJ. I think she's going to be there this next Friday night, too. But went there to go fall through, and I was dolo. You know what I mean? I fell through dolo because I had a show later on. So I'm like, let me do this, you know, kill some time, you know, catch a vibe. And again, you're a single cat in the midst of couples because it's very coupled out. It's in the lobby of the Ace Hotel, and it's very laid back and chill, like some real chill shit. A lot of couples or a lot of groups or whatever. And then, you know, it's not much real estate as far as the seats go. So if you just a solo person, then you got a seat. It look like you could feel, I could feel the people peeping. Like, yo, what's going on? Why he sitting? You know what I mean? That could be a two piece. You know what I'm saying? Because it would be odd for somebody to just sit next to me unless they were somebody solo too. And, you know, maybe that could turn, I don't know, whatever. But fortunately it was just me, and then it was another couple on the other side of the couch. It was chill. It was some chill, like chill vibes, you know, just listening to the music. It wasn't, I was there kind of early, I guess, so I don't know if it turned into something to where people got moving. It didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like that. It was a couple people in there that looked like they were ready for that to happen, but it didn't feel like there was enough of them to make a turn, to like turn the room around. But again, I was there kind of early. Maybe as it got a little later, maybe the music got a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more lit, a little less loungy, a little bit more like, you know, let's go, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? It's Friday night, let's go. But it was cool. Cool little thing. Nice little spot. I never been to the Ace Hotel in Brooklyn. It's all right. I haven't seen the rooms or nothing like that, but the downstairs area is kind of chill. It's pretty cool. What else did I do? From that, I went over that Friday. I went to the Brooklyn Improv. That was my first time. Well, that was the first, I want to say it was the first weekend of the Brooklyn Improv. So I guess the Improv bought out the old Second City. Right over there in Williamsburg, they brought it out. And it was a nice venue back when it was Second City. And they touched it up, tweaked it a little bit. It looked nice. Looked real nice. Green Room was fire. Green Room was really nice. You know, it's early. Hopefully it stays like that. You know, like when a comedy club first opened up, it'd be so optimistic and so over the top. You know, the Green Room was lush with good snacks. And I'm a Green Room trick-or-treater. I take a few things. So I'm, you know, I took a bunch of, a good amount of like some, you know, junk food. Because I try not to buy junk food as much as I do. Junk food. Sound like I'm 72 years old. But like, you know, I don't buy a whole lot of candy because I don't like to have it in the crib. But I do get it from these clubs when I'm out there. If they got it, I take it. They had a bunch of Starbursts. So I got random Starbursts. I got these Reese's peanut butter cups that were mixed with Oreo. Only took two of those because I was like, let me chill. Then I saw a video talking about how Reese's and Hershey's and all them, they're not even really using real chocolate no more. Because due to global warming and other things, you know, the price of the cocoa bean done went up. So now, you know, now they cutting it. They cutting it with, I think it's like palm oil or something like that. I ain't like, damn, bro. Everything is not what it is. Everything is under review. It is a wild time. But yeah. Brooklyn Improv was cool. Yeah, good time. Nice, nice show. The damn fire alarm went off right after I got off stage. You know how I do. Nah, I won't take credit for that. The fire alarm went off, so everybody had to evacuate just as the show was over. So that was kind of interesting. I broke out. I went home. But, yeah, that was cool. Trying to think what else I've been up to, man. Did comedy in Harlem. I was at New York Comedy Club. All good time. Good weekend. You know what? I've been meaning to talk about, I think it's called the Grand Lux Cafe. Yeah, I think it's the Grand Lux Cafe. And I, from what I understand, I'd always seen it. I'd never been to the Grand Lux Cafe. I see it around, like, at malls and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I say, oh, Grand Lux Cafe. I always hear about it. I see it. I, for whatever reason, I don't think I've ever been there. But I was about my fam, and we went to their happy hour a couple weeks ago. I've been meaning to talk about it. Yo, their happy hour is fire. Their happy hour, because a lot of these happy hours ain't really happy. A lot of these happy hours is just, you know what I mean? They give you the fake smile. This happy hour is an ear-to-ear grin. Like, the prices is nice. The food on the menu. They got a burger on this happy hour menu that is kind of putting belt to ass to a lot of these little burgers out here. A lot of these burgers out here that think they burgering. This shit here, for the price point that they got it for, is smacking a lot of them. Smacking a lot of them. Yeah, so I've been meaning to talk about it. And they got a nice, it's a robust menu, like, for the happy hour. It's good. Drinks are nice. Yeah, a bunch of stuff. But that burger, for whatever reason, really stood out. And it's like Monday through Friday. I want to say like 3 to 6, the Grand Lux. This was out on the island over by Roosevelt Field. But I'm sure they got them all over the country, I would imagine. From what I understand, they owned by Cheesecake Factory. I don't know if that make it look crazy, because I know people slander the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, I've never been a Cheesecake Factory fan. I've had the food there, and I never thought it was good, but I don't slander it based on, you know, its status in the dating hierarchy. I don't look at it like that, but I just don't like the food. The cheesecake is fine. But anyway, yeah, if you get a chance, or if you've ever been, that Grand Lux Cafe happy hour is a moment. It's a moment. It's one of them. Yeah, so just wanted to give y'all a heads up on that. Happy belated Easter if you celebrate, or if you celebrated. I feel like, I don't want to say Easter fell off. I did say that in front of a black crowd, and it got cold, but I got them back because it was the truth. You know that shit fell off. But Easter, I mean, yeah, Easter Sunday just crept up. And I know it ain't what it used to be, because I went to the barbershop on, what, Friday? I mean, I had an appointment, but there was nobody in the barbershop. There was nobody in the barbershop. Back in the days, Easter weekend, the barbershop would be packed to the gills. That shit would look like Port Authority. You know what I mean? Like, I think, and it's not Easter specific, but Easter is such a church holiday that it's really, from what, and I feel like I've spoken on this before, I feel like COVID really, it really did a number on church. Going to church, like going to church in person, like going there, sitting in the pews and all that, leaving your house. Ever since you could go watch church on YouTube, I don't think it's been the same. I do not think it's been the same. Church used to be a destination thing. Come to my church. Yo, you got a church home? Yo, come to my church. You got to see my pastor. My pastor's one of the best. You got to come through. Come see him. You know, now you say that, can't it be like, yo, send me a link. Treat your pastor like a SoundCloud rapper. But yeah, man, Easter was quiet this year. I remember growing up, especially as a kid, you know, Easter was a thing. It was like, you know, two outfits. You get your church outfit if you went to church, and then you get your outside outfit if you was gonna hang out. Or, you know what I mean? You get your, you know, your cat, your fly, you know, get your fly joints on. And I remember one year, I was young. I might have been maybe 10, 11. I don't know what it was, but my grandmother used to always hit me with money for Easter. You know, like that was one of her things. That was like kind of her domain because she is the churchiest of the family. You know what I'm saying? She's a church mother, like for all in, right? Church is her thing. So she's like, get yourself a suit, you know, and then get yourself something nice, you know, basically, you know, whatever else you want to get. So it'd be decent money, right? So I remember one Easter, I had a suit. I don't know what suit I had this year, but I had a nice suit. I mean, the suit was whatever. You know what I'm saying? It was a church suit. It was cool. It was good. You know, you get the looks. Oh, look at that. You know, you know. Get in a suit. The suit praise is top tier. Oh, especially as a young boy in a suit. Come on. But so this year, particularly, my grandmother was in the hospital for whatever reason. I do not remember, but I know we went to church and then we were going to go to the hospital to see her. So after the hospital, I guess I switched into my after church gear. And I know we was going to see my grandmother, but low key, I wanted my grandmother to see me. You know what I'm saying? See where this money went and see this fit I had put on. Cause this year I had a velour fila suit. I want to say it was a black velour fila suit. And I think I actually had the high top filas, the official shits. Cause there was a time, maybe one of the summers prior, I didn't have the feelers. I had some jumps. If you were of a certain age, you might remember jumps were the fake feelers. Jumps was the rejects. But they looked just like feeler, but where it said feeler, that joint said jump. So it was what it was. But I think this was all the way official. And I just remember my grandmother being in the hospital bed. She was good, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't dire. It wasn't a bad one. It was just something, I don't know, something I can't remember, but it wasn't anything that was like life-threatening, but she was laid up and I'm up in that piece modeling. Yo, Graham, look at that. She's like, oh, look at that. You know, grandma enthusiasm. Okay, I see you. You know, that type of thing. Yeah, I mean, which is real enthusiasm. That enthusiasm comes from love. You know what I'm saying? Nothing like a grandmother's love or a mother's love, like real love. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, because sometimes the fake love could resemble, you know what I'm saying? But it's not the same. It's not the same. As they say, they say sometimes the smile doesn't meet the eyes. That's the fake love is similar to that. It sounds like, okay, but it is a pang of hate. Not even hate, but just the pang of, come on, man. You know what I mean? Whatever, in the back of it. But this was like, okay, I see you. It was like, yeah, Grant, good looking now. You sponsored this fit. Man, that was a look. I remember that. I don't know how long I had that little, that was one of my go-tos. Man, a little feeler suit. Yeah, but anyway, if y'all celebrated Easter, if you went to church or you did the Easter basket thing, you know, with all the candy and everything, like, that's what's up. Or you threw some pastel on. Pastel was the thing. Get a little pastel colors. Yeah, man. Yeah, it just feels like Easter culturally, maybe because I'm older. I don't got no children or whatever. I'm just not on the church scene. It just feels like I don't hear that much about Easter, but I tell you, my barber even said, he was like, nah, man, Easter fell off because it's dead in here. And, you know, he would know. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, so that was that. What else is going on? I seen some clips of the Kanye show. It look all right. It look, you know, stage shows, phenomenal. Kanye has always been one of the best as far as stage shows go. He's always, like, he's a visionary. He's always, I don't know what show it was. I don't think it was, I'm pretty sure it wasn't Glow in the Dark. I'm not sure, but I went to one where he's like, he was on a platform right above the crowd and he was moving around. Like it was something crazy. That was probably the last time I've seen Kanye live in concert. But that stage show was super ill, like him on top of the world. I forget the guy's name. I'm going to try to find the guy's name in real time without too much lag. But it was a black dude who designed Kanye's stage show. Something, a noose or something like that. Anyway. He did his thing. Whoever he is, if I find his name, he did his thing, though, for sure. Why can't I find it? Oh, Anous Taylor. I think that's how you pronounce his name, Anous Taylor. Yeah, he did his thing. It was dope. I saw it. It looked cool. Everybody tethered. I saw a clip of him. He brought out Lauryn Hill. I guess they finally, this must have been the first time they finally did, All Falls Down, together. You know what I'm saying? The original sample, not the Selena Johnson version. Shout out to Selena, though, coming through in the clutch. But, yeah, Lauryn got to sing. It was a little choppy. It looked like it could have been rehearsed. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it really is just her on the hook. It's a sample of her. So you got her there just singing the sample. Yeah, because she's bigger than the sample. But, you know, and then she got to do a set and she brought out Zion, who's mad. You know, he's an adult now and shit like that. But it was cool. It was interesting. I like the fact that Lauryn, again, you know, I'm at the age that the people that were, you know, the people I looked up to, the older heads, you know what I'm saying? They are older. They're elders now. So, like, Lauryn is performing with the menopause fan. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's officially the menopause fan, but it's the little portable BTUs joint. And there's a lot of fellas out there with them shits too. You know what I'm saying? I see Kevin Hart doing a commercial for one of them new little fans. The little fans be saving the day. You know what I'm saying? It's just higher technology than just having a rag in your back pocket. But yeah, just in case she had a little heat flash or whatever, she definitely rocking. She got the mic in one hand and the fan in the other. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, overall, it looked cool. It made me think. I was asking a friend of mine, because I noticed up until just recently it got canceled, but Kanye was supposed to be doing Wireless on July 10th, 11th, and 12th, right? So basically, you know, same dates that Jay-Z's doing Yankee Stadium. And I was asking a friend of mine, or the conversation was, who would you rather see live, Jay-Z or Kanye? And I said Jay-Z, just because I know more of what to expect. Kanye puts on an amazing show. Like I said, like his stage shows are unparalleled. I don't think there's anybody in my mind, in the realm, the people that I've seen, I've never seen anybody that kind of comes up with these ideas, these like spectacles for like a stage show. It's just crazy. But then it's just like Kanye's still so erratic. And then what really sent it home, which I didn't realize, you know, his audience has changed a lot. His audience low key looking like Hitler Youth. You know what I'm saying? Like they showed them young kids moshing. And it didn't look like the people from the College Dropout. It looked way different. And listen, mind you, most artists, when they blow up and they get to a different level, when they get to that, these tickets are way more expensive than they used to be. The site, the audience changes. The audience demographic often changes. But this, it doesn't, like this looks like it's absolutely flipped. Right, like just, I don't think I want to be in that crowd. You know what I mean? But that was on the floor, you know, and on the floor people, the mosh pit people, I've never really been a part of that anyway. But like, I don't know, it just looked interesting. It looked interesting, but yeah, you know, Shout out to Kanye. Unfortunately, they shut him down for the wireless thing. You know, the people in the UK was like, they not feeling it. You know, they not feeling the anti-Semitism. They felt like it was deeply upsetting or deeply disturbing, something like that. And wireless was holding them down, but everybody started pulling out. And it was weird because I can't even be mad. Like, I can't even be mad if, you know, it's interesting because I think that the black community, I can't speak for the black community, but from, you know, what I'm looking at, me being part of the black community, I think that sometimes we are so forgiving. And I'm going to talk about this a little later, but we're so forgiving. And obviously Kanye is black. So, you know, as crazy as slavery is a choice and, you know, the White Lives Matter t-shirts and, you know, the Candace Owens and all of that other stuff, all these other things, the MAGA of it all, like, it still seems like there's a good portion of the black community that's still, like, check it for him or like not fully canceling the cat, you know. And I'm always weird about just the full cancel, but like Jewish community is like, listen, we ain't like that, we ain't feeling it, and we gonna let you know. Like, I read a whole article about, you know, there was a cat that wrote a whole thing, I forget what magazine it was, but they felt a way about the fact that Kanye performed in LA on the first night of Passover. They felt like that was too far. You know what I'm saying? Given what he said and whatever. And listen, I'm not part of that community, so I can't speak for that. And that's their boundary, and they are unified and for the most, you know, not for the most part, but like quite unified. There's a lot of solidarity and nah. They got a collective nah going, whereas we don't. So there was a part of me that kind of felt conflicted when I seen the wireless people, you know, with the people pulling out on the wireless. But, you know, it is what it is. These things have consequences. These things have consequences. And it was interesting to see. It was interesting to see. But, yeah, so. Something that was, I don't even know if it was interesting to see, but the AKAs hired Trick Daddy for an event and then got mad at Trick Daddy for cursing, or Trick Daddy for being Trick Daddy. That made me scratch my head. Like, come on, AKAs, what we doing? What we doing? Like, you, like, why do you want to hire Trick Daddy and not let Trick Daddy be Trick Daddy? What they say, that tiger went tiger. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't hire, that don't make no sense. Like, that don't make no sense at all. Like, I don't never like to see explicit rappers doing radio edits. Y'all know that. That's why, I'm not a fan of the Tiny Desk. That's kind of part of why I don't like the Tiny Desk. And that's why I loved when Juvenile did the Tiny Desk, because they ain't hold back. They kept it 100. But if you gonna get Trick Daddy, who is a walking parental advisory sticker, to perform at your function, you know what you asking for. You know who you getting. You know what I'm saying? Like that was crazy. That was. I don't even want to say it was ill-informed. I think it was just like, you knew, you had to know what you're getting. Anybody that has any cursory knowledge of Trick Daddy, even in one, the first page of Google, gonna know that this cat is not, he's explicit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. So the fact that you like, yo, well, listen, could you tone it down? I hate the could you tone it down people. Could you tone it down for this? You know what I'm saying? I seen some cat. It was a young cat who was like, I guess, reporting live from there on the video. So I'm like, yo, this ain't the Trick Daddy I know. Trick Daddy, he wildin'. What Trick Daddy you know that ain't never been wildin'? You know what I'm saying? Come on now. That made me upset. Like that, I felt that like this is ridiculous. I feel a way about that when people book people and don't really, and I don't think you didn't do the research, but people book people who are known for one thing and then you kind of want them to tone that down for your thing. Book somebody else. Book somebody that's in line with the sensibility that you want. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I got to look at Trent like, okay, now, what was the contract? What did the contract say? Well, how did the discussions go? Did they tell you that you can't do X, Y, and Z? And I know you trick daddy. And you probably don't, you know what I mean, respect all of that, these guidelines and all of that. But still, if you signed the contract and you agreed to it, then you took that check, you complicit too. It made me think of a time when I was in, this is like at least 10 years ago, I was doing a college show at James Madison University. I think that's in Virginia, I think. I was doing it was a co-head, me and Jeff Dye. And we both had to do like 30 to 40, which 30 to two comics doing 30 to 40 in front of a college crowd is aggressive. That's a lot. And cats don't have no real attention spans like that. But we both doing 30 and 40, and colleges pay nice. You know what I mean? Colleges pay nice. 30 to 40 minutes. I'm almost positive. Actually, I know for sure. I look back at the quote. I went back and looked at it. It was $5,500 for 30 to 40 minutes, but it had to be PG-13. Now, that's where it gets weird. Now, if you just said clean, I probably would have said, I don't know. But I looked at that figure. I just said, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? PG-13 is too gray area. PG-13, they cursing PG-13 movies. You know what I'm saying? PG-13 is so, it's like if it's R or G, or if it's G or X, like if it's explicit or it's for the kids. PG-13 is a little too ambiguous for me, but okay. He did say that on the thing, 30 to 40 minutes. This was years ago. Like, 30 to 40 minutes, I gotta be. First of all, I got to cobble together a good 30 to 40 minutes that will appeal to this college crowd. And it's got to be clean. Can I do it? I don't know. It's going to be shaky, but I looked at that paper. I said, I got to try. And I get out there, and I don't remember exactly what it was that I said. All I know, I don't know if they turned my mic off. All I know is in the middle of my set, I had to leave the stage. And that was embarrassing. I had to leave the stage. I was like, I'm mad. Because I'm tiptoeing through the set, you know, and looking back on it, I'm not even gonna say. Looking back on it, I want to say I shouldn't have taken the gig, but no, I needed that bread, and I was gonna take the gig. But it was just like I'm tiptoeing through the set, like I'm like three lines ahead of every joke that I'm doing, and I'm self censoring it. I'm thinking I'm really doing whatever I need to do. But just like on this pod, there's times when I'm on the pod and I'm talking and I'm like, yo, you cursing a lot. You know, like when I'm listening to it in the edit and I'm like, all right, let me chill. Let me try to, it feels gratuitous, you know? So I don't know what I did, but whatever it was a little too much. They cut me and I think, Jeff Dye went up or whatever. And I don't know if he did what he needed to do. I think he was clean or whatever. But I was sick. I was embarrassed. It was whack. You know, but more importantly, I was like, am I going to get my check? Because that's also one of the pitfalls. A lot of times you done got all the way out there and now they could say it's breach of contract and they could not give you your money and they could be in, you know, based on the contract, you know, they could be in the right. Fortunately, I got my bread and I was happy, but it definitely makes me sensitive to those type of situations. And it also made me say, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not putting myself in a situation to where I don't feel like, I don't feel 100% confident that I could deliver. Like, I could do a clean set. And even that, there's, I don't even want to judge it. Because I think sometimes there's some judgment in it where people are like, well, you can't work clean. It's not like I can't, but I don't choose to. I like to use colorful language. You know what I'm saying? Like, and some people may feel like it's a crutch, and maybe it is for some, maybe it can be. But and listen, this is my stylistic choice, you know? So, but if that's something that I don't do, then don't do that. Then don't do that. Or if you wanna, because the thing is, it when you do clean content, you know, you open yourself up for so much more, you know. You know, especially as far as brands and everything goes and stuff like that. Like it's just wide, you know. There's no, people aren't nervous, you know. Even though I do think that you could be clean and be subversive or say something crazy, but I can't think of anybody off the top of the head. Anyway. Yeah, man, I guess that triggered me. You know what I mean? I saw that Trick Daddy thing. I'm like, come on now. Like, why would you book Trick Daddy? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you book Trick Daddy? And y'all, come on now. Y'all know. Y'all AKAs. Y'all know Trick Daddy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, come on. Stop it. That was goofy. Anyway. Some other goofy shit. Now this speaking of getting triggered or being upset. I don't know if you saw this, and it's tough to talk about unless you see the video, because I think you got to see the video to really fully be incensed. But there was a video that came out at Walmart, right? They handed it, no, not Walmart, pardon me, Costco or Costco. Which I've been corrected. It's Costco. For I always say Costco, but it's Costco because I guess it's Costco, whatever. Costco, whatever. Either way, they are Costco or Costco, and they handing out the rotisserie chickens. And I don't think I've ever had the rotisserie chicken at Costco, but I've heard they supposed to be one of them. I'll be honest with you. I'm not the biggest. Nah, I won't say that. I could do the little rotisserie chicken, but now that I'm in my little microplastics bag, I don't like all that in the plastic rotisserie chicken. Every so often I'll grab it, I'll just go get my own, because it's very easy to roast a chicken, you know what I mean? I live uptown. There's good roast chicken everywhere. But the Costco roast chicken, people go crazy. It's like a frenzy. So my man, he putting them out. It's like somebody at Foot Locker with the, you know what I mean, with the new release at the sneaker store, and cats is going a little crazy, right? So my man is actually being diplomatic in the way that he's distributed them. He's like left, right, left, here, over there. Not like boom, boom, boom. Not a whole bunch on this side. You know, just like trying to make sure that everybody has a shot at getting one. So this one lady walks up and I guess the person that's recording got maybe meta glasses on or whatever, so you kind of see it from her perspective. So she's over the shoulder, this one woman who she's like right behind, so she should be getting the chicken that will be right behind the lady getting the chicken, right? So this lady in front of her grabs her chicken. Now the next rotisserie chicken is coming down. The lady takes her hand and shuttle passes it to the right to a woman off to the side. And turns and smugly looks at the woman, was like, she was there before you. And walked off. Man. Hell. Boop, boop, beep, 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 beep. Listen. First of all, that's been my new thing. I don't know what I started doing that. Those have been my sound effects for punches. Beep, 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 beep. It just sounds fun, but it's still a boop, boop, beep, beep. Man, have you ever seen somebody that you could tell they never been punched in the face before? and they behave in the manner. Listen, I'm not. Look, I'm an adult. I'm an adult. I'm grown. I'm, you know what I mean? A mature male. You know, I'm not going to say I'm anti punching people in the face. I'm not all about, I'm not for the violence. I'm not for the violence, but I'm not, I won't say I'm pro punching people in the face. That's what I'm saying. I'm not ultra, but I'm not anti. Cause I've been punched in the face. I've punched people in the face. I understand there are certain things. Certain things. When you've been punched in the face, it calibrates how you move in life. You know what I'm saying? When you've been punched in the face to the point to where it's like, oh, like it's a little bit of like, it's almost like you know how you see a cell phone camera jostle. That's how your eyes look for a second. You got to get your bearings right. It's almost like your cameras went out for a second, right? It'll make you reflect on what happened, what led to that. Was it your fault? Was it their fault? What happened? And then you, at that point, you got to defend yourself, and hopefully there's still, you know what I mean, there's still some time to retaliate, hopefully win or whatever the fuck, right? This woman, I don't know, because I watched, there's only just a clip, but from the clip that I saw, it didn't even look like this woman that she passed the chicken to was even with her. That's one. Two, because I watched the clip about 10 times at least. When she passed the woman the chicken, the woman already had a chicken in one hand. So now she's double chicken. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to that restaurant I haven't been to yet. But who are you? Who are you to be the chicken ref? Get your chicken and get the fuck out the line. Go about your business. This is not your business. To the person that's distributing the chicken is the person distributing. You are not the, you deputized yourself as the chicken facilitator. Usurping my man's power, who's out here putting it out there. But the way she looked at this woman was like, she was there before you. And it's like one of them little smug little like fake smiles. Man. I wish I had the controller to this person behind the meta glasses, because I'm like, yo, what is going on? Why are you getting punked like this? Ah, this is crazy. This is crazy. And it's like a $6 chicken, something like that. It ain't that crazy. It ain't worth going to jail for. But that's when you go to jail for the principle of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, and then again, principle, certain principles, especially $6 chicken disrespect, is not worth going to jail for. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's level head. That's level head. Honestly, maybe this person in the better glasses had a level head. You know what I'm saying? Maybe because they're an FBI informant. Because that's how I look at people with the meta glasses. But anyway, I'm not going to lie to you, dog. It made me tight. I was like, because this woman is running rampant out here. Wilding. Like, man, it was crazy. Y'all really want y'all to watch it. I would probably put it on the Instagram stories. But y'all gotta tell me. Listen, I don't wanna say I know my audience. But yo, listen. Like, come on, ma. You were bugging. You were completely bugging. Anyway. Oh, shit. That was crazy, though. That was crazy. I finished Cross, season 2 of Cross. It was fine. It was fine. It was what it was. Like I said, it's a detective show. Nothing more than that. It's not like anything that, like, the resolution. I feel like just like last season, I can't even remember how last season resolved, but it just feels like it don't really. It's nothing that's going to be like a satisfying ending where you're like, yo, that was worth the 8 hours I spent watching the show. Don't think that it's going to build to anything, really. It's just TV. It would just be a TV show It's like a Barnaby Jones. It's like a Quincy. Like, it's like one of them old, you know, like Law and Order type of thing. You know, it's just maybe with a better budget, but it ain't nothing that's like culminates in something where the arc was worth the trip. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't. It was cool. It was good to see, you know what I'm saying, all those black actors get some shine. You know, it's fun. It's fun. But it ain't, you know, it is what it is. Quietly, I kind of feel the same way about Paradise. I'm probably about 3 episodes in. We'll see. We'll see. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have high hopes for it. But that's me. If y'all disagree, it is what it is. You let me know in the comments. I started DTF St. Louis. I probably watched about 2 episodes of that. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's weird. It's some weird shit. And, you know, Jason Bateman is always good in the weird shit. Linda Cardellini. I always like Linda Cardellini and Joy Sunday. I'm new to Joy Sunday, but I'm rocking with her. It was that one episode where there's the scene with her and Linda Cardellini kind of had that little like real like nuanced face off. The interrogation kind of, could you speak a little louder? Like it was that was a good moment. I forget my man's name that's playing the other guy. Look, I'm trying not to spoil too many things anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know how fast y'all watching things, and I want y'all to listen. You know, because I realize I be getting tight when people be spoiling stuff. I be turning pods off like, all right, that's enough of this. But I say all of that to say, if you don't want no spoilers, you might as well turn it off now because I'm about to talk about the drama. I went to go see the drama today. Because I guess I'm a big Zendaya fan. I'm ready for Euphoria. I think that's coming back this weekend. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. I like that she's, outside of doing her work, she just be away. You know? And like, I mean, Sydney Sweeney kind of looks crazy now with the whole, you know, the jeans and, you know, whatever, the MAGA, that kind of kills it a little bit. But like, I like how like Alex Demi and all of them, they kind of stay low. You don't see them until it's time, and it's been a while. So I'm curious to see the band back together. I guess Jacob Elordi's been out there, but he's working. But anyway, I went to go see the drama because I like Zendaya, and I seen there was a lot of mixed reviews, but like polarizing, like people felt strongly on, well, I'm be honest with you, I didn't even get too deep into the reviews. I saw JT weighed in and was like, yo, whoever told you, whoever wrote, produced this movie for Zendaya need to go to jail or some shit like that. Again, I'm going to try to talk about it without spoiling it too crazy. I already gave a spoiler alert. And this, I just saw it today, so I'm still kind of processing it. But overall, I like the movie. Overall, I like the movie. I like the writing. I like the performances. Zendaya is a hell of an actor. She gets busy. Robert Pattinson's a good actor. You know what I'm saying? Alana Haim from Haim and Licorice Pizza, she's a good actor because I couldn't stand her. And then my man, what's my man's name? Man, the black cat. What's my guy's name? Sheesh. I'm going to try to do a real-time Google. Actually, you know what? I'm on the edit button, so hold on. Let me look this cat up. Mamadou Athi, I believe. Mamadou Athi. Boy, they put him way down, and he wasn't that far down. Boy, they be treating a black man, they be treating black folks real funny. Anyway, boom. The movie is about Zendaya's character, Emma and Charlie. They're on the verge of getting married, right? And they're going through all of the preliminary wedding planning stuff. And as stress-filled as that is, and, you know, fraught with nerves and all of that. And it made me like realize, like, I love, and I even like going to other people's weddings, but I'm not a wedding fan. Like, if I ever get married, I get married, but like, I'm not really, I don't think I want a big wedding. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be cool with like a chill wedding with a nice reception, like with a good DJ, something like that, good food, good drink, you know, but like all of the, you know, doing the wedding dance, going to get choreography for the wedding dance and doing the tasting for what's going to be like, just all of that, like the preliminary stuff. It's a bit of a turnoff, but that's part of, you know, getting married too many. So anyway, we already see that, you know, it's just a lot, right? And you could tell that Emma, she's into it, but like it's kind of overwhelming. I think Charlie's a little bit more intentional about it, and I don't even know if he's just that into it or it's just the expectation, and it just they have to deliver, as the choreographer said. The day is performative, you know. But anyway, so we seeing them, like, you know, the lead up to the wedding or whatever. You could kind of feel like the nerves on both sides. There's love, but there seems to be some nervousness. You can see how they kind of interact with each other. That there could be some cracks in this whole thing, right? So at the little dinner, they're sitting with Rachel and Mike, which is Alana and Mamadou. They're in a relationship. They're married or whatever. And they're all friends of Charlie initially. And then they became friends of Emma. Right, so they're sitting there and they're talking, and then they're talking about what's the worst thing that each person has done. And they've been drinking. So like they all kind of get into the worst thing that these people have done. Right. And I think it starts with Mike. Mike, his whole thing was he was out on a date with a girl, and a stray dog came, and he basically threw the girl in front of the stray dog, you know what I'm saying, used it as a body shield, which is crazy. But he was like, I gotta survive. He did the Nino Brown, you know what I'm saying? So he threw homegirl in front of the dog and got it going. Then his lady, Rachel, she talk about how she was young. One of the neighbors, a slow kid, took her to like some RV that was real abandoned and dusty and dirty or whatever. She wound up locking the kid in the bathroom of the RV and breaking out and like leaving the kid. And they had to get a search party to find the kid. And she never copped to it or whatever, whatever. Foul. And Charlie, he's like, he cyber bullied somebody so bad that they moved, whatever, whatever. So then they get to Emma, and Emma's kind of like reluctant, you know, but like not as reluctant as them, but kind of like, I guess we playing this game. They've been drinking. Feels like a safe space. You know, it's like we listen and we don't judge, right? That's what it felt like, right? But everybody kind of quietly judging. So Emma just, not offhandedly, but like it confesses, listen, I almost committed a mass shooting. I was like, what? I almost committed a mass shooting. So then the whole thing is she's talking about when she was a kid, she's like 15, she's getting bullied, she had been moving around a lot, she'd been bullied and all of this. Her father had a rifle, she brought the rifle to school, but for whatever reason, she didn't commit the thing. And we find out why later on. But anyway, immediately after she shares that, like everybody else, because the question was, what's the worst thing that you've ever done? So she went with the worst thing that she ever did, which was something that she was on the precipice of doing, you know. And then what happens, Rachel gets very upset because she's got a cousin who's in a wheelchair due to a mass shooting and this, that, and the other thing. And then now everybody's kind of turning their back on her and they're getting upset with her and they kind of yelling at her and, you know, I can't believe you would do this, this, that, that thing. She winds up throwing up, getting sick. She's drunk and she's, upset, you know, winds up throwing up and shit. And everybody goes their separate ways. Charlie and Emma go back to the house. Charlie's obviously twisted about it. You know what I'm saying? So much so he starts to get cold feet. You know what I mean? It's just like, damn, I didn't know. Now he's looking at her differently and all of this other thing. And, you know, one thing leads to another, right? So one thing that made me think about is when you are in a relationship, it just reminds you of the wholeness of people, right? Because these people were people before you met, right? They lived a life before you guys got together, and now y'all living a life together, especially if you're getting married. Y'all going to live the rest of your lives, ideally, hopefully, together, right? And you take that person on, you know, with all of that. With all of that, bad credit, trauma, all of that, everything, stuff that you don't realize, right? Now, the crazy thing is, would she have ever revealed that to him? Oh, right, she's deaf in one ear, and she told him that she's been deaf since birth, but honestly, she was deaf because when she was shooting the rifle, like practicing shoot the rifle was on her shoulder, and they like the gunshot, the recoil, whatever, it blew her eardrum. And that's why she can't hear. So she found out she was lying. Now, also, the whole reason that they even together was based on the lie, because he saw her reading a book and then he acted like he read the book. But then immediately he told her on the first date, yo, I ain't read that book. So, but, you know, listen, it's all varying scales, right? But the thing is, these are people that lived lives, right? And what I didn't like about the movie, because I liked the premise, I liked the thrust of it. I thought that was kind of something interesting to examine, because the reality of the situation is there's probably a bunch of people that have been on the verge of doing a mass shooting, because there's been a lot of mass shootings, so much so that they're not uncommon. There's times when there's more than one mass shooting in the week. And that was part of the reason why she didn't do her mass shooting, because she got upstaged by another mass shooting that was not quite a mass shooting. Because to be a mass shooting needs to be four or more. And this was only three. So anyway, and it's like dark comedy. You know, it's dark sense of humor. Sick, you know, maybe. But it just made you think about the reality of the situation is this. This is a very violent country, you know, and there's a lot of people that are, you know, born and raised in this violence. This is, you know, violence is as American as apple pie. It's even more American than apple pie. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but this is wild. This is a lot to take in. But what kind of turned me off about the movie was like, it seemed, and maybe this is just, I don't want to say it would seem more concerned the movie did, but how it played out, it was more about how Charlie and Rachel particularly reacted to what Emma said and did or was about to do. But it didn't really go into it. Somewhat it did. It kind of showed a little bit of Emma's, it showed what Emma was going through and what led her to it. But it just felt like, they, you know how they say white center or so male centered or the white, you know what I mean? Like if they centered themselves rather than being like, yo, you know, and what was so interesting about this was in Charlie's vows, not in his vows, but in his wedding speech. And also when he was with the photographer, he said both times, you know, I really love Emma's empathy, but there was no empathy for her, you know, and Charlie took it all crazy. He's bugging out, crying and like falling apart so much so he cheats on her the day before the wedding with his coworker. Rachel is kind of centering, making her cousin Samantha, who knows she barely is cool with, because her cousin was like, yeah, we're family, but they ain't really cool, but she's using her as this, like, you know, this totem of, you know, I've been affected, I know somebody, you know what I'm saying, somebody to virtue signal off of, you know, I got to clear it with my cousin to see if I could come with your, come to your wedding. She's the maid of honor, which is crazy too, because she's not even cool with Emma like that. She's adjacent to Emma, but it became more about them and then all of the other shit. And at the very end of the whole shit, it's still for Emma to clean up the mess, to take on the emotional brunt of it all. You know what I'm saying? To make things right, to make things, or to appease her man. You know what I'm saying? And, like, Zendaya is biracial or whatever. She's a black girl. And I was just looking at that. I was like, damn. It's like the black girl got to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't going to get no sympathy, no empathy, but then she's still going to be the person to hold it down and to tough it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, to be like the villain and the person that's got to console you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit was whack. That was whack. And then two things about that. What was whack about that was it was just like, again, if I'm talking about Charlie, not even about Rachel, that Rachel too, but like Charlie, just how he fell apart and he did all of this other shit, but there's no real accountability, right, for him. Right. And she holds him down and she has this threshold of understanding for him and he don't have no real accountability for himself. Right. He makes it about himself. And what struck me was as I'm leaving the theater, I go on social media and I see this fucking tweet from the president, real petulant child type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, he blacked out on Twitter on Easter Sunday, you know, defaming a country's religion and threatening violence. And then again, threatens violence again. Sounded like Cartman, sounded like a fat kid. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to fat kids, but like just Cartman-esque. The profile of just this little petulant ass kid. Yo, this is going to be something like, I'm going to wipe out a civilization and maybe this will be something new. Who knows? Like this weird, reckless, dumb shit, unhinged rants that go on that nobody seems to really, it feels like there's no accountability for this. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, one thing is fiction and one thing is reality, but it's just in that moment, it's just it mashed together. It's just like, yo, this is what it is. This is what it is. Like, I don't know. That kind of blew me a little bit. Then, I got on the road. I'm like, yo, this is the second time Zendaya had been like the bait and switch for just some white guys and some foolishness. Because I watched Challengers, and that was about some old sexually confused, two white boys that are sexually confused, but Zendaya's in the middle of it, and she's the face of the fucking poster and the draw to it. Because I don't remember who those two kids were, and no disrespect to them, but it wasn't, they didn't bring me to the theater. And it's just like, what? I don't know. I don't know, man. It was all right, but it was just there. It blew me a little bit. It blew me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I saw JT, so I saw it as I waited because I didn't even read her letterbox review yet. But I saw her say, yo, whoever wrote this should be in jail. And look, I ain't going to go that far, but yeah, it was what it was. I know Zendaya wants to work with Ryan Coogler. I want to see that. I would love to see Zendaya. I mean, damn, it's different now, but I would love to see Zendaya work with like old school Spike or what's my man's name? John Singleton. You know, I know she want to work with Ryan Coogler. I just want to see her, you know what I'm saying? See her in a different lane, in a different, something different vehicle. We tap into something a little bit more culturally celebrated. Anyway, that's what that was. The drama. It was whatever. It was fine. It was fine. It was not bad. It was not bad. I'd watch it again just to see it. But that's just kind of how it hit me the first time. And maybe I went into it expecting to like not like it, not to not like it, but to try to see why people didn't like it. But that's how it felt to me, you know. But again, I think the performances was good because I told you, like, I couldn't stand Rachel. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's credit to Alana. Robert Pattinson did his thing because Charlie was a clown. You know, and Zendaya did her, and Mamadou did his thing. Everybody else was good too. The little girl that plays Zendaya, Jordan Corrette, she was good. I think that's her name. And then and Zoe Winters, who I thought was I thought that was Courtney Kardashian. I thought that was stunt casting. I was like, damn, Courtney Kardashian is kind of doing her thing in this shit, but it's not. But yeah, y'all, if you seen it, let me know what you think. Yeah, that's that. that's the pod for this week. Listen, I will be in Milford, Connecticut at the Milford Arts Council telling jokes, being funny. April 15th. If you are in that area, I think there's some tickets still available. I know there's some tickets still available. Come out. Let's make that a moment. Let's make that a moment. Let's make it a moment in Milford at the Milford Arts Council. Let's have a good time, you know? And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy. To get in the conversation. Thank you.